You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Very serious.
This is the Mandatory Samson Podcast, coming to you live from Stand Up New York Labs in New York City. As always, this program is hosted by yours truly, Chris Flannery. To my right, looking incredibly dapper, Joseph Noe. And sitting across from me, my good friend Andrew Genelosi. We were supposed to be joined by one Yamanika Saunders today, but she is under the weather. She didn't record her show Monday. She got in touch with me today. She is not able to make it. Unfortunately, I did kind of prepare the show with the idea that Yamanika was going to be here. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see how it goes. We're just going to cut some stuff out that, you know, we're not going to talk about normally. But it is what it is. We'll get Yamanika on another time, but she's sick. So
I hope you feel better.
Yeah, Yam, if you're listening, I hope you're feeling good. But she took a NyQuil, so I bet she's just passed out right now. I had a whole like intro written out and everything. It was so cool.
You said it was funny.
It was funny. I had a funny question I was going to ask her right off the bat. It was going to be great, but you know, it is what it is. Look, you get sick and that's the reality. So, but look, don't let that deter you. We have an excellent show on tap anyway. All right. We're going to get into some politics stuff. The Koch brothers, our famous billionaire brothers, have selected their candidate that they're going to back for the Republican primaries.
Oh, yay.
And we'll get into that in a little bit. We're going to get into some government stuff, which, as you know, Joey, is different than politics.
Yes.
The TPP, the thing we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Some updates on that we're going to get into. Because I think it's important. We don't have to get too deep into it. I actually just have like a bunch of quotes that people have, and we can kind of talk about it briefly, but we're not going to get too crazy into it. We also have some cultural and media criticism stuff. One of the things we were going to talk about with Yamanika was the chick. I don't know whether you pronounce her name Amandla or Amandla. But anyway, Stenberg, she was in the Hunger Games.
Okay.
She did a video about cultural appropriation, like where rappers are taking...
Iggy Azalea and all that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We're not going to get into that video today. That was like, that was tailored for Yamanika being here, so we're not going to get into that. Yeah. But we do have a great apology video.
Nice. Love
which
those.
We like to get into. What's up, dude? Little Joe Harary producing. We have a... what was I saying? Oh, an apology video. Robert Bates, the guy that shot Eric Harris. He shot him. He thought it was a taser, but it was actually his gun. He killed him. He did an apology video, so we have that, which is great. We also have a video that I don't think you saw, Andy. Joe, you might have seen it. Britt McHenry, she's an ESPN reporter. It's not really newsworthy or relevant in anything, except I want to talk about what a bitch this chick is, and we're going to get into it. It's a great video. And then we also have, let me see what, we're going to get into this Freddie Gray getting killed in police custody thing, which also, because it's in Baltimore, Yamanika's from Maryland, I figured we'd get into it, but I think it's still worth talking about. Joey, you have some shit that you want to get into, correct?
Yes, I do.
And Andy, vaguely, as always, I was like, you got something for the podcast? He's like, yeah, I got some stuff, so we're going to get into it. How you guys doing? I mean, I feel like we were put off just a little bit. I'm surprised. I prepared for Yamanika to be here and she's not here.
I was like, oh yeah, Yamanika's on the show today. You know, and kind of...
Yeah, like, oh, you got excited. A little thrill.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she'll be on the show again. I mean, I think people probably are like, yeah, they never had Yamanika booked. No, we did. I swear to God we did. She just got sick.
Yeah, we're on the same network.
Yeah, we're all in this together. It's going to be great. So, let me tell you this. This is something that I actually, while we have a little bit of time, because I feel like we're a little looser today. Oh, if we have time at the end, this other video that both of you didn't see. It's of this kid. He asks Kate Upton a question about prom.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's
not asks her to prom, asks her a question about prom.
I don't really want to say, I can't explain it because then it'll kind of give it away, but it's a really, really good video and I like this kid a lot. I wanted to say this. We got a couple of comments because obviously we go after corporations and, you know, that they're basically willing to do anything for money. And I think some people think that we're hypocritical because we take money from Chesterfield cigarettes.
Yeah.
Let me put this out there.
No, don't. Please don't.
Well, I'm going to get... here's the thing. We got a couple of comments about it. People calling us hypocritical that we take their money because obviously cigarettes are bad for you. We don't. Chesterfield Cigarettes is not actually a sponsor of the show. They were a company that existed in like the 40s.
I think it was the 30s.
30s
maybe.
And 40s, yeah. Basically. They don't sell cigarettes here anymore, and they don't pay us. That was just a bit that we've been doing, and we're running out of those old radio ads. So now's as good a time as any, because we're going to have to think about how we're going to get rid of Chesterfield Cigarettes as a thing.
True.
Sorry, and, guys. Yeah. We was just joking around.
Yeah, and it turns out they were liars. Cigarettes are bad for you.
Yeah. It turns out that there's overwhelming evidence. That was sort of the joke of the whole thing. But look, it is what it is. We're working on other sponsors. We're going to see. But I'm just letting you know that the Chesterfield thing was a joke. Mm-hmm. So don't worry about it. No, we're not hypocrites.
You know, I have something that's not bad for you. Let me go get it.
Oh, God, he's going to pull his dick out. can I also say, we got a comment. What is this? Oh, you brought the hashtag Tebow hat.
Yes, I did.
Oh, of course you did. Why'd you bring the hashtag Tebow hat?
Somebody's going to play some football this year.
Yeah, who?
Tebow.
Yeah, what happened, Joey?
For Philadelphia.
Oh, boy.
One-year contract. I am super psyched.
I was talking to Cannon about it. Mike Cannon, host of the Weed News. Go check it out. I was saying, like, Tebow seems like a nice guy. I kind of root for him just because of that. He doesn't seem like he's full of shit. It seems like the religious shit that he's into, it's like he's genuine about it. He's not really trying to make me believe in God. He's just saying he does.
No, it doesn't matter, but the guy can't hit a wide open receiver.
He's been working with, I understand that, definitely. But
great guy. He's not an NFL football player.
I root for him.
He is not. Fine.
He's apparently been working with Tom Brady's throwing coach. Yeah. Ooh. The last 2 years, so we'll see what happens. Joey, what do you but here's the thing, this is where I'm getting at. What is he going to do on the Eagles? Is he going to be their starting quarterback?
No, he's going to be their fourth string quarterback.
He's going to take them into the playoffs.
You think he's just going to be there once in a while, every couple of downs, they're going to throw him out there,
they're going to do more than the Jets used him.
They'll direct snap to him or whatever. Well, the Jets thing, they couldn't play him X amount of minutes or X amount of quarters because a bonus would kick in. So they couldn't use him as much as they probably were thinking. I don't know why they got him to begin with, but...
Yeah. Well, so tickets.
It's going to be the same situation with the Eagles, man. He's going to come in, he's going to have one shitty season, and that's going to be it.
I just don't understand why they'd want him, but whatever, good for him.
Why would Chip Kelly do that? Doesn't make sense.
Joey's a big Chip Kelly guy.
Chip Kelly
I like him too. I like Oregon, but...
I don't care, really. I mean, I watch football, but I am into the Rangers. Rangers up 3-1 on the Penguins. Things are looking good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Looking good, Rangers. All right. The other thing I wanted to get to before you pulled out this fucking Tebow hat. Mm-hmm. Why don't you put it on? Why don't you wear it? No, you're good with it there?
I'm good with it there. I just don't think it matches the vest.
It's green.
Joey wants everybody to acknowledge his vest.
Why don't you stand up, let everybody see the vest. Yeah. Joe, can we get a cut on this here? Take a look. Why don't you put, I have an idea. Why don't you put the hat over your microphone so that way nobody can hear the crazy shit you're saying?
Yeah, you're really funny.
People are mad at me, I guess. I got called the podcast Hitler, which I find disrespectful. My girlfriend's Jewish and I don't appreciate it. Mm. Exterminate that pussy. You were acting. Sorry, she's listening and my mom's listening, I think. So sorry about that joke. I don't even know what I was going to say. Oh, yeah. Tell people that we have a good relationship, that like we're good friends. I've been friends with you for 20 years. I'm just trying to...
Oh, my God. It's like a hostage video. Tell them everything's okay.
Joey, tell them everything's fine.
Joey, blink twice at the camera.
No, but you know what I mean? People get mad because I kind of like make fun of your jokes sometimes. I'm just trying to be funny. I love Joey. I brought him on the show. Why would I have him
Andy,
here?
Just so you know, the gun is out of frame.
Yeah. I can actually tell.
All right, whatever. Fuck you, Joey. But the other thing I wanted to say...
No, I can say that it is... healthy relationship at times.
It's a very healthy relationship. It's a healthy. The only reason Joey's here is because I was like, let's do it, Joey. And I love having Joey around.
But then you say things like that, and it doesn't.
I talked Joey out of going into the priesthood.
Oh, yes, he did.
For fuck's sake. All right, that's a good thing.
I was like, go to college. What are you doing? You're going to be a priest?
Yeah. Why was that going to happen?
Growing up, I was raised Catholic.
We all were.
I was an altar boy and all that, mm-hmm. and I was somewhat religious, and the priests were eyeing me. Not in that sense, but...
You said it in that sense. You made it imply that they were trying to draft you as like their little ass boy. They're just going to have around.
Yeah, that's exactly what that sounded like. What does that mean?
No, it's just
they were like grooming him, I think, to be like into the priesthood. And I was like, don't... First of all, you're such a horny little devil, like...
And you're the one who convinced him not to do it?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, he did a good job.
Yeah, because I'm a good friend. That's my point.
All right.
All right. Right, Joey?
Yes.
All right. You. I love you.
I love you too.
It's a nice moment. I want to say
not
this.
Not brought to you by Chesterfield
cigarettes. No, Chesterfield cigarettes. You're done.
Yeah.
We're working on other sponsorships. I want to say this. Somebody else commented, and I appreciate the comments, that he was going to share the video, but he can't because we said we wanted to be on Fox News. That's a joke, too. We're just joking. I would be on Fox News if they would let me say this.
Yeah.
But they're not going to let me say it. I'm just kidding when we're doing that.
Strange to me that we have to explain these jokes.
It's all right. Look, we appreciate people that are listening. I will
Thank
say
you for listening.
Anything for money, so just keep that in mind.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Anything you want me to say, if you pay me, and it doesn't even really have to be that much.
No.
So,
no, it's very small amount of money.
Take that for what it's worth.
I also want to say this before we get in, and I promise we do have shit that we're going to get into, but I figured it's just a little loose opening to the show because we, you know, we had to scramble. We had to cancel some stuff. Yeah. We had to move stuff around. We started writing a country song that I'm really proud of before we came on the air. The main part of it basically just goes like, I'm just a cowboy, which I don't know if that's already a song. It should be, and I think we're going to write this song.
It probably is, and you said we started writing a song. That's as far as we got, was that one line.
We had that part about George Bush and stuff.
Oh, yeah. He might not be so bad.
That
one
part sounds awfully like Wanted Dead or Alive by Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
The George Bush part?
No, I'm a cowboy.
Oh, I'm a cowboy.
Because I'm a cowboy.
I'm just a cowboy. I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever.
But,
so we're going to work on it.
It's just a cowboy, so that's different.
If you guys want to send us like videos of you singing that or writing more song, we'd take it. That'd be great. We'd play it on the podcast even if it was funny.
Yeah, I thought that was something we were going to do, but that's okay.
We're going to do it. Don't worry about it. All right, but anyway, great. So all right, off the top again, Chesterfield cigarettes, not real.
Mm-hmm.
And we would only be on Fox News if we could say this. I don't actually want to be on Fox News, so don't worry, guys. All right, share away.
Then also, we will say anything for money.
That is correct.
I can't be bought. That's all I'm saying.
You can be bought, for sure.
That's all I'm saying.
All right, so here we go. Let's get into a little, let's get into some stuff that we actually produce for the show. The Koch brothers are backing Scott Walker in the primaries of the Republican campaign for president. Yeah, it is a It's weird because I doubt that Scott Walker can get that nomination. It's very strange.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get it. So they're just going to throw a lot of money at him during the primaries. And then when the other two, Rubio or...
well, it's going to be Jeb Bush again.
Or Bush,
It's only going to be Jeb Bush. I can't imagine it being anybody else. The thing about this is that Scott Walker goes hard against unions. He's in a very blue-collar state in Wisconsin. So I don't know. Maybe that's why they're backing him, because they can kind of get their message out through him without damaging another candidate.
Yeah.
Because they said they're going to back whoever becomes the nominee anyways.
Oh, yeah.
And they're planning on spending $900 million on the 2016 campaign.
That's down at 2.5.
That's what we were talking about.
Yep.
That's exactly right. But if they're starting at $900 million, it's going to get close. Yeah. But I still think Hillary's going to raise more money.
Yeah, I think she will.
So that's an interesting thing. On top of
2.5,
that,
God damn.
It's ridiculous, right? I mean, it's like literally the amount of money that countries have. It doesn't make any sense. Approval ratings in Wisconsin have dropped for Scott Walker. This is what's interesting, why they just announced this. 56% of people in Wisconsin disapprove of what Scott Walker's been up to. 41 approve. And in New Hampshire, polling has come out. 49, theoretically, if Scott Walker was running against Hillary Clinton, Hillary Clinton beats him 49% to 40%.
Oh, I think it should be higher than that.
Well, it's a year plus out.
Yeah, it's true.
But 9 points is a big
margin,
and that's the closest. Scott Walker's at 9, Rand Paul's at 9 behind Hillary Clinton. The rest of them are all more behind Hillary Clinton. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, so it's just to keep an eye on it, and it's interesting. That's where the Koch brothers are throwing their money. But it will end up with the nominee eventually.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So I wanted to get to this. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is this massive trade deal that they're trying to get fast-track authority. Obama wants it, and Congress wants to give it to him. Democrats are against him on this, and Tea Party Republicans actually are against it.
That's an interesting...
It is an interesting dynamic, and that's why when we talk about having multiple parties, like that's where the... where that comes in, because the Tea Party could just be its own party then. Get out of the Republican Party. There's no reason. Let the Republicans be a thing. Let the conservatives be a thing. Let the Tea Party be a thing, like liberals, Democrats.
Yeah, get more ideas.
All different parties,
because
then you can consensus build between liberals and Tea Party, which you wouldn't think you would be able to do that, but you actually could. Okay, unions are against it. Business is for this Trans-Pacific Partnership. Elizabeth Warren, who I love, again, wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post about the investor-state dispute settlement provision that we highlighted on, I think, yeah, MSP 25.
Okay.
Where multinational corporations could fine a country or just override their laws.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Elizabeth Warren wrote a whole thing about that, which is great, and that's why I love Elizabeth Warren. On top of that, this is also something that if you're in college, I actually have no idea what the demographic of people that listen to the show. I would assume some college age people, some people older than that, but this will affect you. Prison for file sharing is something that would take place in the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Binds all of the signatories to this thing to excessive criminal copyright rules that include sending people to prison, potentially for life, forcing them to pay debilitating fines. We're talking millions of dollars.
Yeah, you couldn't afford them.
That you can't afford. Or seizing or destroying property. They could show up at your house and take your computer or just destroy it. So that's great. So that's stuff that's all hidden in these secret deals, which again, not allowed to talk about what's in the deal for 4 years after it's signed or 4 years after negotiations end. They're not allowed to talk about what's in it.
And all the businesses are backing the hell out of this.
Of course, because it helps them. They're multinational corporations. They don't give a shit about state laws. This, again, we're not going to get into like that depth of it because we did really go into it on MSP 25, which is one of my favorite episodes. I think you guys should go check that
out.
Yeah,
it was a good one.
I did bring a bunch of quotes about this because I figured that's the easiest way that we could just kind of get into it. A little background on it, because now it's starting to come out into Congress and they're not allowed to talk about the actual parts of the deal unless WikiLeaks leaks it, which is what Elizabeth Warren wrote her op-ed on.
But
they're talking about the Fast Track Authority. Basically, Fast Track Authority means that there's no amendments or obstructions when they start passing pieces of this thing. They would just be simple up or down votes. They couldn't, the Congress and senators and everybody, they couldn't say, oh no, but what about this? Nope.
It's just yes or
up or down. They've reached a deal to give Obama fast track authority. So that's going to happen. And I think this thing is going to go through probably regardless of who's against it. The deal would allow the U.S. to trade with 2/3 of the entire world's economy as opposed to 10% of the world's economy, which is what we have now, which is weird that, that's part of it. NAFTA made that happen. This is way bigger than NAFTA.
Okay.
All right. So that sounds good, kind of, that we're able to trade with more people. But I have some quotes that we're going to get into, and then we can kind of move on. Go ahead, Joey.
Quick question. Probably the way I view this would be a lot of the businesses would end up making things in other countries at a cheaper rate and then just trade it to us.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It just enables countries like China or, well, let's use China as the example, where they can have essentially slave labor where they're paying people 10 cents a day or whatever to make sneakers and iPhones and all the shit. And then those goods come here. This, and we already had a deal in place with them, but this broadens it. So we can do this with a lot of different countries. And we have some quotes about that. Bernie Sanders, who's great, has a quote about that. So let me read just some of these quotes and that's basically it. But I just want to keep this in people's mind that this is actually the argument against money in politics, and this shows you the relationship between multinational corporations and government. This is really the problem. Sherrod Brown, who's a Democrat from Ohio, who I really like. He's a cool guy. He's a gruff guy. Kind of talks like this. He's a good dude though. His quote was, "Today we're meeting in a hearing that was noticed 12 hours before it began on a bill we haven't seen with witnesses. I assume who know more than we do, and frankly, will never tell us." So he's saying that they're trying to debate on this thing about giving them fast track authority. They don't know what is in the bill. They're not going to know. And there's nobody that who would be experts in this there to advise them.
But it has to get passed.
Right. But they still want to pass it. Chuck Schumer, who is probably going to take over as for Harry Reid as the Democratic speaker. Kind of the leader on the Democratic side. "We're supposed to vote on TPA, which is the Trade Promotion Authority. That's the fast track. We're supposed to vote on TPA, tie our hands and not vote on amendments before we've seen what the TPP is. I've never seen anything like it," he says. Okay, but it's going to happen. Ron Wyden, who is a Democrat from Oregon. And again, this is the other thing. I'm saying Democrat. They're complicit. A lot of them are complicit in this. Some of them are against it, like I said. But Ron Wyden says, I'm proud this bipartisan bill creates what I expect to be unprecedented transparency in trade negotiations and ensures future trade deals break new ground to promote human rights, improve labor conditions, and safeguard the environment. That is absurd.
What transparency? Nobody even knows what the goddamn thing says.
It's patently absurd. That's ridiculous to say. And what do I always say, Joey? You tell me. When you hear the word bipartisan, what does that actually mean?
It means one party.
Right. So we don't want that. You want way less bipartisan agreement. You want maybe consensus built between parties.
Mm-hmm.
But when you only have two parties and they both agree, that's one party. You're being ruled by a single entity. And it's the business party. That's the problem.
Yes,
Ron Wyden's full of shit on that, that it's going to open up transparency and improve labor conditions for who?
Yeah, it's going to open up transparency in 4 years when everyone's getting fucked and they're going to find out how they're getting fucked.
Right, and it's too late. Bob Casey, a Democrat from Pennsylvania, says, over and over again, we've been told that trade deals would create jobs and better protect workers and the environment. Those promises have never come to fruition. Okay, so that stands directly in contrast to Ron Wyden.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Bernie Sanders, who I love. This guy's an independent from Vermont. I love Bernie Sanders.
I do too.
It is a race to the bottom. Our workers should not be asked to compete against people who are making 56 cents an hour, which is exactly
damn
what
right.
you're talking about. But that is the situation. This is why unions are against it and businesses for it.
Yep.
If you can... If you open up the global economy in a deal like this, which is exactly what it does, it opens it up further. You put American workers in a situation where if you want a job, you're going to have to take the shittiest job that we could export to China.
Yep.
But we'll do it here and we'll call that a jobs program or whatever.
Oh,
you know,
my God.
We're increasing jobs. But you're not. You're taking the shittiest forced labor, essentially, which is what's
which
going on.
Which is already an issue here anyway.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And has been. But
right, but now we're gonna
now it's only gonna get worse.
Right, we're gonna try
just
to,
like the recurring theme of everything we talk about on the show.
Yeah, we can get into that in a minute. I watched something over the weekend. Well, we could take a break. Oh, well, let me just finish this. Remind me, I want to get back to this thing I saw on Vice that just is absurd. Okay, so Bernie Sanders said that. Elizabeth Warren says giving foreign corporations special rights to challenge our laws outside of our legal system would be a bad deal. If a final TPP agreement includes investor-state dispute settlement, the only winners will be multinational corporations. Correct. Barack Obama says, and this is it, we'll end with Barack Obama's quote. He says, I look forward to working with Democrats and Republicans in Congress to pass this bill, seize this opportunity, and support more good American jobs with the wages and benefits hardworking families deserve, which is not
they're
going
not gonna
to
be
happen.
Any American jobs.
I would not be doing this trade deal if I did not think it was good for the middle class. How could it be good for the middle class?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. When you hear folks make a lot of suggestions about how bad this trade deal is, when you dig into the facts, they are wrong. He says, I love Elizabeth Warren. We're allies in a whole host of issues, but she's wrong on this. No, she's not. You know she's not. And that's what is infuriating about this guy. Like, he became part of the machine. And for all the good ideas he's had and for the good things that he has done, this is so bad, and it's just going to sink us into this insane, like, shitty wage global economy thing for even deeper than we already are.
Yeah.
Going back to what you said, Andy, right, where it's like we do everything wrong. You're right.
Yeah,
we do.
We do.
I watched an episode of Vice this week, which I would encourage people to watch. It's about how we're creating antibiotic resistant strains of different diseases mm-hmm. and illnesses, MRSA and strep and things like this,
yeah.
that our antibiotics are not working. They're running out. And we're at that point where unless we create new ones, which takes a long time, it takes like a decade basically
yeah.
to create a new antibiotic, we're going to be fucked. We're not going to be able to have surgeries because...
I know, man. Things are in the shitter.
Terrible. And on top of that, what's even fucking crazier, we get a lot of our antibiotics from rainforests.
Mm-hmm.
People go in, they find plants, then they have to test them, and that's what takes so long. But that's where we get a lot of these antibiotics
mm-hmm.
from.
Mm-hmm.
The second part of the Vice episode is how we're destroying the rainforest.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because of palm oil, illegal palm oil plantations.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is in cookies and cereal and basically everything you fucking eat.
Yep.
So is that like being used instead of the corn syrup then? Because it's cheaper,
it's a type of corn. No, it's not cheaper, but it's a type. It's like that.
It's like the same idea.
So we're running out of antibiotics. The only place to get more antibiotics is in the rainforest. But bad news.
Better being cut down for cereal.
Yeah, we're making frosted flakes. So we can't. Like, we have to get to a point where it just goes, look, you can't. No more cookies. We're done making cookies for now.
Yeah, or just use another type of sweetener.
Yeah, or don't use palm oil.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what
stop
are we,
cutting down rainforests.
Yeah, because we're all going to die of the Black Plague legitimately because the antibiotics are just not going to work. So, yeah, Great. It's funny that you said that, because I've had that exact thought this weekend, and I was just like, I can't.
I've had that exact thought for years.
Well, of course, but it's like that. It was brought into stark relief with this. Like,
yeah,
we're gonna get sick. We're not gonna be able to cure it because we're gonna eat shit that makes us sick. Like, oh, yeah,
the diabetes is gonna be very real for everybody.
James L. Mattern, shout out.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's the story with the TPP. I'm going to stay on it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing we could do about it.
See, I just don't get how Obama can say all that when he himself doesn't even know what the bill says.
Because he has to say it. Because he has to say it. Like,
yeah, but what ties does he have left? He's a, what, sitting duck, lame duck, whatever the hell they want to call
yeah,
that.
Lame duck.
It doesn't matter anymore.
So
why not grab your balls and... stop making
say you're
change.
Down with TPP.
You're down with TPP? No, you know me.
You don't know me.
Right? Like, no, I'm not down with it. You know.
Or I guess because he's still a father. So.
Maybe that should be a title. I noticed you didn't write it down.
You're
down with TPP?
I'm not down with TPP. You okay. don't know me.
Something like that. Yeah, that's a double negative, so that means I am.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, Joey. It's a good question.
You don't know me.
So maybe he can say whatever he wants because he's still a family man. He's got two kids.
Well,
he's got a support
is,
and everything. I just don't get it.
I think once you become president, you see... the forest for the trees. You start to see, like, or maybe the trees for the forest. I don't even know. Maybe it's the opposite way around. But you get in there and you're idealistic and you have these yeah. goals and you think that you can get this shit done. And you get there and you realize, like, oh no, there's just an overwhelming
opposition
to everything. And there already is this kind of cabal in place that is in control. And I can
yeah.
make very small lateral moves, but I have to kind of make sure that these things are going forward, because every other president is going to make sure these things are going forward.
But I find it hard to believe that these guys, these people who run for president, can actually believe that they're going to get in there and make these drastic changes that they're going to want to make when they've seen the recurring theme of, like you said, you can do a few things, but there is this like overwhelming power already in place that you're not going to be able to do anything about.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I agree. Right. I don't know how you could go in thinking anything
that
but
you're
that,
really
but,
going to get. You know, these drastic changes.
Right. But then when you this is the frustrating thing, I think, mm-hmm. for me personally, and for a lot of people probably, about Obama, it's that you watch how he kind of came into the forefront. He gives these incredible speeches, and mm-hmm. people go, hold on. Okay. He gives these speeches where he goes, it's not a red America, it's not a blue America, it's the United States of America. Mm-hmm. He gives these powerful rhetoric,
yep.
stuff that you haven't heard in a long time. People are comparing him to Kennedy. He gets into office. He's got a broad coalition of people supporting him, young people, old people, mm-hmm. black, white, everybody supporting this guy. And he's saying the right things. I think being him... and actually becoming the first black president to have the belief that you could actually do that, I think you have to sort of be this idealistic guy at first to get in. And that's maybe blinds you to the reality of like, oh, this is the shittiest place on earth. This Washington, D.C. is just terrible. And I think when you get there, you do realize it. I know it seems impossible, but I think that is what happened.
You think he didn't know going in that it was going to be like that... That it was probably going to be shitty, more likely than not.
I think he thought that there was going to be more people
to help him out
when he got there. If he was going to talk the talk, that
yeah.
those people were going to be like, you know what? Yeah, fuck this system. And they were going to get on board with him. It did not happen. He
yeah.
didn't do a good job fostering those relationships.
That's
either.
The thing. Like I think to everybody, it seemed like a lot of talk and that's it.
See, that's the thing. I think that's what's disappointing about it. It didn't seem like a lot of talk. It seemed like this guy is a person of character and of substance, and that when he gets
sure.
there, he can maybe tip the scale towards character and substance as opposed mm-hmm. to towards fundraising 8 hours a day. That didn't happen.
Then why didn't it work, though?
Because I think... because he wasn't in Congress, he wasn't in the Senate long enough
right.
to foster the type of relationships that you need to have when you get there. Then when he got there, I think he became even further isolated. He didn't make those relationships work in Congress, so anybody that probably would have been supportive of his ideas or maybe would have switched,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of their way of looking at things, they
yeah.
didn't. And on top of that, I think because it was so long since a Democrat was in power,
mm-hmm.
It was just Clinton. Then it was Bush, Reagan. There was no Democratic leadership available to take over with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he got a lot of former Clinton people who were pretty conservative. And it just kind of fell apart, and then you become isolated, and that's the end of it. And he just didn't have a chance to actually make the change that, you know, it seems like he was going to do. Or he just isn't good at it. I don't know. There's no way to know. Or he did know, and it was just bullshit. That's the other option. All right. I don't know.
So now the $64,000 question. You have Hillary, somebody who's had more experience than the average Joe, was there already for two terms, first lady.
Right.
Would she be able to, Secretary of State, in the Senate?
Yeah.
Would she be able to affect more change than Obama, or it's just the same game again?
It's hard to say. Again,
same game again.
It's the same. I mean, right? By yes, yeah, right. Before yes,
but somebody who knows the system.
It's the same game again. I want to say that. I want to make that clear. It's always going to be the same game, and that's kind of what I learned. And Obama taught me that lesson, right? It's like you see it and you go, it is going to be the same game again. I think for her, she probably would have a better ability to negotiate because she has longer standing relationships.
Mm-hmm.
She's been around it. Her husband is one of the best politicians, regardless of whether you agree with what he put in place or anything, but he loves politics. He loves the game of playing it, and she's been around that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you got to believe that she had something to do with that. You don't think when he goes to bed at night, their pillow talk involves like what they're going to do the next day about politics.
Yeah.
Like,
ew.
That is what happened. Oh my God. When they're just smoking a cig after going at it, like to Arkansas school children. I don't know. But you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I think Hillary probably has more connections and the ability to do that, but I don't think she's as liberal as Obama seemed to be when he was running.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. We will see. But I'm inclined to say no. Because the hooks are in. We're talking all this ideological shit. Can one person make a difference? No. Because you have these fucking multinational corporations that have these secret bills being passed and all this other shit and NSA spying. It's like, it's easy to forget that shit is there, is not going away, and can't be stopped. That's the reality.
That's all we talk about, is all these things, all these power structures already in place, and then we're talking about the presidency like it actually fucking matters when it doesn't.
That's the thing, and that's what they play off of. That's the idealism, I think, of America, and I have that idealism as much as I do.
It's our generation.
It's every generation. It's the idea that we're the freest country, and we're this and that, and like we like to believe it.
No, I meant the other way. Is that
what do you mean?
Is that we all kind of just have this standing idea of, okay, we're fucked and there's nothing we can do about it. I think there's that too.
I think we hold both of those ideas at the same time, and that's what's unique about America. Yes. We acknowledge that the country is shit, the people in charge are not doing anything for us. Nothing's happening positive, but we also go, God, I love America. Right?
It's because there are fucking stupid reality shows on TV that make people believe that they're all going to make money one day and have a nice life for themselves, when that's not actually what's going to happen for them. People aren't going to realize it until they're like 40 and they're still living in a fucking apartment.
Absolutely. Dude. But that's a fine line. But that's the thing. That's the fine line. And I get caught up in it too, because of the whole election thing and whatever. It becomes about the person as opposed to the system, which is the problem. It's not the people that are in this. Like, obviously it is partially the people in the system, but it's the system that is in place that just swallows up idealism and spits out whatever. Nihilism. I don't know. Whatever you want to call it. But anyway, all right. That was a good discussion off of the TPP thing. We'll keep our eye on that. I wanted to get into this. Robert Bates, who's a 73-year-old sheriff, I guess he's from Oklahoma. I forget where he's from, but I think it's from Oklahoma.
He
is, right?
Tulsa, yeah.
Yeah, Tulsa, Oklahoma. He shot a guy.
Shot the sheriff.
No, he is the sheriff.
But he did.
No, but he didn't shoot the deputy, though.
He shot a guy during a sting operation. This guy, Eric Harris, was selling guns on the street, and they had a sting operation set up.
That sounds like a good business.
It's good, probably make some money. It's a little dangerous, I think. You could end up dead, apparently.
Who knew?
So he was selling guns, which, okay, yeah, he shouldn't be selling guns. They arrest this guy. Now, this guy, Robert Bates, he's 73 years old. He's a deputy sheriff, and I just want to read this to you, and you tell me whether this guy should be there or not. Bates, and we have the apology video. I want to play a little part of the video. You could tell me what you think about this. Bates, who sold his insurance business for $6 million in 1999, was trained to be a Tulsa Police Department patrolman in 1964, but left in 1965. He was out of law enforcement for 35 years, returning for volunteer work in Florida in 2000, which Florida has an impeccable criminal justice system
and
incredible police. before joining the Tulsa County Force in 2008 and making a number of donations to the agency. He also was Sheriff Stanley Glanz's campaign manager during the 2012 election. So you have this guy who has really like not a lot of training
not
on the
all.
Force. He's there. He's got a gun. He's got a taser. And
he's on a sting operation.
Wait, he's on a sting operation.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
A man who bought his way onto the police, a 73-year-old man who bought his way onto the police force is going on sting operations.
Yeah, but why even bother? You sold the business for $6 million. What, he just spent all his money and had a kill time somehow? So
he wants to be a cop.
Just the same way, what's-his-face, who shot Trayvon Martin? I can't think of his name.
Yeah, George Zimmerman.
George Zimmerman. That's the same thing. But this guy just happens to have a lot of money. And he doesn't seem like a terrible guy, but...
No, he just wanted to kill a black dude.
Maybe. I want to play this part of the apology video, and then we can just like kind of get into it more, but I think this is telling. Meanwhile, our buddy Matt Lauer...
you love him.
I do and I don't. I fucking kind of hate his stupid softball questions, although he kind of tries here. All right, here we go.
I've never, you know... first and foremost, let me apologize to the family of Eric Harris.
If you guys are... We're watching it. You guys are only hearing it if you want to watch the video. His fucking family is just behind him, and they're like creepily rubbing his shoulders and stuff.
They're trying to give him support, bro.
Go fuck yourselves. All right, here we go.
You know, this is the second worst thing that's ever happened to me.
What was the first?
He corrects himself, but I love that he was like, oh, I mean, he gets into it.
First, ever happened to me in my life. I've had cancer a number of years ago. I didn't think I was going to get there. Luckily, I was able to go to a hospital where I had hours of surgery.
Sir, this is a tangent that you didn't need to be going on.
What is happening right now?
It's bizarre.
Great, this is number one on my list of things in my life.
Chris, hold on.
Let me ask.
So, sure, I'd love to.
He said, okay. He said, this is the second worst thing that's ever happened to me. Then he did the cancer thing, and then he just changed his mind and said, no, this is worse.
Yes. Just yeah, he said that this is his number one regret. I guess he can't regret getting cancer because he didn't decide to get cancer.
Yeah, it's, you know what, he's human. People make mistakes. I don't think he meant much by that.
Oh, you're saying that in terms of him misspeaking, not accidentally shooting this guy.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Let's be clear about that. To play police officer.
All right, Robert Bates, please just continue, sir.
Ask you to do that. Would you do me a favor? Would you stand up for me for 1 second and show me where on your body when you are in your uniform?
Look at the wife or whatever behind him, like cock her head like a dog that's confused. Like, what are they going to ask you?
Yeah.
You know goddamn well what they're going to ask you. How did you make such a big fuck up, you old goon?
You keep your taser and where you keep your weapon, your revolver. Can you stand up and show me?
Sure, you bet. My taser is right here.
Now he stands up. He's got his right arm basically like, you know, in the middle of his chest.
A little low.
A little lower, but it's... in that area.
The boom mic is in the shop, by the way.
Yes, it is. I like stuff like this.
On the front.
It makes it real.
Joey, he's explaining where his gun is. This is where the taser is. It's in his chest.
Tucked in a protective vest. My gun itself is on my side.
He's now touched his hip. So this guy, just to be clear, said that his taser is at his chest. I know his lawyer's like, oh, God damn it.
Look at his lawyer's face. He's just like, God damn it.
He just said that the gun is in his, like under his nipple, his left nipple, in a protective case, and his gun is in a holster at his hip. So how
his right hip on the other side.
The opposite side. How could you possibly get confused? All right, let's continue. Maybe because you're 73 and you shouldn't be
and have dementia. But
yeah, you have no training. I also have a little cherry on top of this story after we get through this.
Normally to the rear.
And people are going to look at that, Mr. Bates, they're going to say, how could you make this mistake?
Great job, Lauer.
Could you think you were...
Do you know that Matt Lauer's contract, he gets helicoptered in every day?
That is so awesome.
He lives in Connecticut.
Yeah.
How long does that take? Like 15 minutes?
Where does he live in Connecticut?
I don't know. Probably Stanford.
Stanford, Greenwich.
Bristol, maybe?
No, Bristol is way... That's where ESPN is.
Maybe Greenwich, then. Oh, yeah. Maybe Greenwich.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Sweet life for Lauer. He makes like $40 million a year.
I wonder if he lives in Fairfield.
I don't know, dude. He's probably your neighbor.
Maybe.
All right, here we go.
Going for your taser on your chest, tucked into that vest, and accidentally pull your weapon.
Well, let me say this has happened a number of times around the country.
Haven't heard about it.
Read about it in the past. I thought to myself after reading several cases, I don't understand how this can happen. You must believe me. It can happen to anyone.
No, it cannot happen.
That's
to
where we're gonna stop the video. Yeah, because we've seen enough of that. Disagree. It can't happen to anyone. That's
no,
not true.
It can happen to 73-year-old men who have no, basically no formal police training.
Right, which they get into later in that video. They're like, but it doesn't seem like you were trained. He's like, no, it was. And then he goes on this weird rant about like...
Jesus.
No, about some guy that like went to jail, but like it's interesting. I don't know. I don't even understand what he was talking about. But so yeah, that's such a crazy thing to say, right?
Like, yeah, see, I think this would have been solved if he had two tasers and no gun.
I'm glad you brought that up.
So that way, no matter where he reached, it would have been a taser. It would have been set.
I'm glad you brought that up. Here is something that I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. Because that argument can be made then. It's like, why do they even have guns? A lot of countries don't. England doesn't have them.
The bobbies.
Right. They don't carry guns. Their crime rate is lower. Norway, Iceland, these places don't have guns. Crime rate's lower. Australia, they don't have it. Crime rate is lower. We insist on that the cops have to have guns. I'm not even advocating that, but I'm just saying... Crime rate's lower in countries that don't have cops with guns.
Hmm. Yeah, that's fine, but, you know.
It's fine.
A shotgun in the car is fine if you need, you know, if you need a big gun, but let's
but it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous when this type of shit happens.
Yeah, it is.
So that was something that I wanted to get into. I also brought this. Now, this was something I was debating whether we were going to talk about, but when Yamanika was coming on the show, I was like, this will be a good thing to talk about because Yamanika's from Maryland, so this took place in Baltimore. She's grew up in that area. I think she spent some time in Baltimore. And, you know, I figured we can get her perspective on it as a woman of color. Thought it would be great. She's not here. That's fine. We can still get into it because it's worth talking about. This guy, Freddie Gray. This is a fucking sad one. This one bothers me. This guy was in police custody in Baltimore. Hold on, let me read it. He was charged with, quote, illegally carrying a knife. He was chased by police after a lieutenant, who we're going to get into in a minute, made eye contact with him and his friend that he was standing there with.
And they ran.
They ran. The cops discovered the knife after they caught him. Running away is not a crime. So
It is.
No, it isn't.
It's evading the law, is it not?
No, because there was no reason
made
to
arrest him.
Probable cause?
There was no probable cause.
No. Okay, so
probable cause?
Yeah.
Why are you running?
Yeah.
Because he was running. If I saw a cop and started running,
they're going to chase you.
I don't think so. They might not. They don't have to. Why would they?
We should test that.
Yeah.
I will test that. We'll do that. We'll go out in the street and I'll run away from a cop.
Yeah, but you're a white kid. You can't test it.
That's my point.
Black man.
That's my point. Oh. That's why they were chasing him. Because they saw a black guy run.
No, but we need to know all the circumstances of like how this happened. Like if they're both... Okay, so the cop's just walking up.
The cop's not walking up. He's standing in one area. They're standing...
And they make eye contact and then they just book it.
That's what the cop says. Again, okay. This guy's right. Dead, so there's no way to know. Again, that's always the story.
Well, but he was with a friend or what?
Yeah, he was with another individual, the police report says. Mm-hmm. But okay, so all right. So they chase... Fine, we'll say the cop even had a reason to get near him. I disagree, but he runs away. They find a knife, which also you're allowed to have a knife. The cop found it after he searched him. It's not like he had it out. He was brandishing it. All right. Well, they arrest him. I have the video of the arrest, which is like 30 seconds. We can watch real quick. While he's in police custody, they get him into the van. His spine becomes 80% severed at the neck.
Oh, how does that happen?
Interesting question. He had surgery. He went into a coma. He had surgery. They brought him back from the like brink of death, and they ended up dying anyway like a week later. He was fine when he got in the van, although not fine. They kind of like obviously roughed him up a little bit, and then he gets in the van, and he's got an 80% spinal.
So what'd they do, like stomp him probably?
I don't know what the fuck they did to the poor guy.
Jesus Christ.
It had to be some kind of blow, though.
8:54 a.m., he's put into the van. We don't even have to watch the video. Basically, they're dragging him and somebody's yelling, like, his leg looks broken. They might have fucked up his neck prior to getting him in the van. And then they finished whatever they did to him.
Yeah.
Okay. 8:54, he's put in the van. 9:24 a.m., the paramedics are called. So that's a half hour gap.
Jesus Christ.
2 minutes into them arresting him, he's asking for an inhaler because he has asthma. They don't do that.
Yeah, why would that?
And one of them yells, I'm confusing two different things. Never mind. But anyway, but so they put him in the van, 3 broken vertebrae and an 80% spinal severation, whatever.
All right, so this guy makes eye contact, runs from the cop.
Right.
Cop chases him down, beats the shit out of him.
Well, that's what the cop's saying anyway. This guy could have just been fucking having a race. Yeah, you don't even know what he was doing.
He could have been having a race.
He could have been ready, set, go, and the cop's like, oh, he's running for me.
Okay.
That's the thing. Like, it's fun. Well, okay, that's good. That's good that the cop should just chase the guy?
No. I'm just saying that's a...
And then they arrest him.
We're just saying ridiculous situations.
Speculation. That's what the cops are doing, too.
True. No,
they don't know
true.
What he's doing.
Yeah.
It's obscene that they would even... Okay, whatever. So they chase the guy. Then they arrest him for having a knife, which he's allowed to have. That's crazy. So they pre-arrest him and then make a crime happen. And then they kill him, basically. They murder the guy in the back of the van. Six officers are suspended with pay.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, because, you know, because...
It shouldn't take six officers to beat the shit out of somebody.
They killed a guy, they broke a guy's neck, but they got to eat too. So this one cop, Brian Rice, he faced civil action for domestic violence in 2008 and 2013 in Baltimore.
Oh, someone with the pre-existing...
condition, exactly. Yeah. So that's the story right now. Basically, his family says... His sister, Carolina, says the officers who did this need to be arrested now, locked in jail and charged with murder, and this all needs to be investigated by separate police. How can Baltimore police look at their own? Great point.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And his uncle says the police are just going to look out for each other. They need to get the federal government to investigate. I agree.
I agree, too.
This is a 25-year-old guy. In the report, the sheriff or whatever and the mayor said that he was, quote, arrested without force or incident. He didn't resist arrest. He was... cool about, like, even though he didn't have to be, he was fine once they got him.
Yeah
25 years old. Wait, this kid's dead.
So at what point did his neck go crunch?
Once he was in the van, he was alive and like yelling in pain as they're putting him in the van. Half hour later, the paramedics are called. He goes to the hospital. Oh, his spine's fractured. What happened?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's great. I would have liked to have Yam's opinion on this. I kind of know what she would have said about it, but yeah. She's not here, unfortunately. Hopefully, we'll get her soon, and we can talk about something like this. The other sad commentary about it was, because I was thinking all week, like, what are we going to talk about with Yamanika? I kind of, you know, obviously, we could just talk about any of the normal stuff that we talk about, but I'd like to kind of tailor it to having her here. It's a
with
benefit.
With her experiences
Let's talk about some of this stuff. And I thought to myself, like, I guarantee some... unarmed black kid's gonna get killed in the next week, and that is something we'll be able to talk about. And that happened.
Yeah, that is sad.
It's a sad. I knew it though. I was like, that's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. So we'll definitely have that to talk about. It's fucked up.
It is.
All right. So the next thing I wanted to talk about was this racial appropriation or cultural appropriation video. We're gonna skip that because I think that was really specifically for Yamanika to be here. So that's fine. We're gonna skip that. If she comes on, we'll save it. We can talk about it. I have two good videos, and these are just for fun. Unless, Andy, do you have something specific that you want to get to, or what do you think? We're like 45 minutes in.
Oh, we can do the fun videos.
Joey?
Fun videos.
Fun videos. Okay. The first one is this Britt McHenry, who is apparently an ESPN. I don't watch ESPN. I have no interest. I watch mixed martial arts, and I watch hockey.
But what about the highlights?
I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care to watch golf. Ooh. Jordan Spieth hit a birdie on 14.
I don't care.
What do you love, Masters now too?
I like golf. Yeah, I like
golf. With the golf. What do people care? Why?
I don't know. I like golf. I like playing golf. It's a fun sport.
Playing golf, fine. But I'm watching it. Good God. Anyway, I don't watch ESPN.
Okay,
this
cool,
chick,
dude,
Britt McHenry.
Like
I'm just a cowboy. anyway. This chick is on an ESPN reporter. I've never heard of her. I've never seen her until now. There's a video of her at a towing place. Her car got towed.
Aww.
She's upset about it.
So she's having a bad day.
So you had a bad day.
Just a cowboy.
Just a cowboy. Car getting towed. So we can get into the backstory of this, but I want to play the video because she's awful, and I want to highlight how awful she is. And I don't know why, but it just... this one really bothers me. I don't like her.
All right, so before you play it, she goes off on somebody and somebody else is taping it.
She goes off on the woman that works at the tow company, like is there the dispatcher or whatever you
want to
call
it. So who has the video?
There is a security camera.
Oh.
She starts in and the woman that works there tells her, if you keep this up, I'm going to release the video. She keeps it up, so the video's out. And I think that's terrific. So here we go. And this girl's very pretty, and that is... probably 90% of why this attitude comes out of her.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's play the video and then we'll get into it.
I'm in the news, sweetheart.
That's fine.
I will fucking sue this place.
Okay, that's fine. And I'll play your video, so careful.
I'll play the video. That's why I have a degree in that. I wouldn't work in some dark place like this.
She's just like kind of like fiddling with her bag, like getting her thing out. She, first of all, you're not in the news, fuckhead. You do sports interviews. Like, I by the way, when you Google her before this, nothing comes up.
No, of course
it's
not.
It's just
yeah,
this
no,
video.
She does like two segments on right. ESPN. Yeah, whatever.
Britt McHenry here, and I shut up. You're meaningless.
Yeah,
you're not in the news.
Makes sense to call and being here. Much good chatting. Yep, that's all you care about, is just taking people's money. Yeah. With no education.
Oh.
No skill set. Just want to clarify that.
Just want to clarify.
Do you feel that. Good about your job? So I could be a college dropout and do the same thing?
Oh.
Because I have a brain and you don't?
Looks like that.
Maybe if I was missing some teeth, they would hire me, huh?
Yeah, I feel like you had just touched your fruit cup a little bit.
Oh, like yours? But they look so stunning. Because I'm on television and you're in a fucking trailer, honey. Lose some weight, baby girl.
What a twat she is. I actually just like I know that it's sort of just we're just picking on somebody kind of, but she's a bitch and I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah,
she's a terrible person. And you know goddamn well, because here's the thing, I have some of her quotes and shit. First of all, she's pissed that her car got towed.
Yeah.
This is the sign on the restaurant she went to. Hunan number one is not responsible if your car is towed from the parking lot. It is complimentary parking for customers and employees of the entire building and is managed by the County of Arlington. If your car is towed and the towing company number is not visible, please walk around the front, blah blah blah. Attention customers, please don't leave your car here overnight. She left her car there overnight. That is on the restaurant where she went. So there you go. That's just the end of the story. So you deserved to have your car towed. Fuck you, number one. Fuck you, number two. This is even better. She posted on Facebook 8 days before this happened. Take the high road and be nice to people. Amazing how a small kind gesture can go so far, yet similarly so can impact. Can the impact of negative words? Ugh, she's an idiot also. Don't choose the latter. Thanks to all the fans and viewers who've been good to me. Smiley face. Okay, so that's her fake bullshit persona. You think she's going to, if she was interviewing Tom Brady and Tom Brady was rude to her, you think she'd give Tom Brady lip?
No.
No, I doubt that.
Because she wouldn't have a job.
Well, forget that. She wouldn't have a job. That's Britt. Britt McHenry. That's her fake. Hi, I'm here at Britt, you know, training camp. Shut up, asshole. Yeah. Then she's going to go and treat this woman who is just there. It's her fucking job. All you care about is money. Yeah. Because it's my job. I have to do this. I literally work here. They pay me.
Well, see, my question is...
That pisses me off, where she's going to go, oh, treat everybody nicely. Yeah, you should take your own advice. That's what pisses me off. Because, like, you know she's like that all the time.
Oh, all the time.
She's just a bitch.
Until the camera's on her, then she's like...
I mean, it's not surprising.
No, it's not surprising, and I don't even know why, but it's like that is just a prime example. It's like you fucking... That's a hypocrite.
Mm.
See, the thing I don't get is... If you work in the news...
Part of the story I don't get is why she doesn't go find the... Get off your fucking ass and...
get your ass out there and find that fucking dog.
God, joke.
All right. I don't get that joke.
What joke? Oh, it's a Billy Madison reference.
Oh, okay. So if you're in the news or you work for ESPN and you know everybody has a camera...
Let's make those two different things. If you work in the news... Okay.
If you do two segments on like... Pardon the interruption. She's probably on like...
She's not even on that. Okay. I did research about her.
No, I know. She's probably on like the 1 p.m. Sports Center.
Yeah, but like doing a remote.
That's what I mean. That like nobody watches. She's not even in Connecticut. She's in fucking Arlington, Virginia doing a remote spot.
The one video
she's
I saw of her.
Not even at the real ESPN campus in Bristol.
She's at Duke or something interviewing somebody. I forget.
Okay.
Wait, Joey? She's at Duke interviewing somebody, and Duke is like a blue. That's their color.
Yeah.
She wore a red dress, and there's a video of the guy being like, well, Britt, we got to get you a different dress. She's like, that's what she does. She doesn't do anything real. She's an annoying person.
Yeah.
And I'm glad her car got towed.
Yeah, and let's be real. Her car got towed probably because she left it there because she was out having a one-night stand.
Word up, son. You do a little research about Hunan One. It's a very popular place to go for a happy hour. They have a very good happy hour.
Oh, yeah?
She got hammered on Easter Sunday. Yeah, $3, you know, beer. Or whatever. You drink wings. She left the car there. She went, got boned by some, I'm assuming, mortgage broker.
Yeah.
And then she goes back there with her stupid friend. She's like, where the fuck's my car? It's like, your car's in the towing lot.
Yeah.
Because the sign you didn't bother to read, genius, is telling you shouldn't have left there. Now you got towed.
So she does the walk of shame back to the car. No car.
Boom. That's what happened.
All right. Just
Britt McHenry. Carless, brainless.
Whore.
Jobless.
That I cannot speak to, but I bet she is.
So
no,
anyway.
Not jobless. She got suspended for 1 week.
Ah, that's all that they're going to hit her with?
Yeah. I don't, again, like, should she get fired? She has a nothing job anyway. Whatever.
This might help her, though.
This?
Yeah, maybe this she might get another job.
The New York Post, well, she's going to stay at ESPN. The New York Post wrote a bunch of articles being like, her Twitter crucifixion is ridiculous. Like, she was in the right. It's like, no, she was not in the right.
Yeah, how was she in the right? She's just a bitch.
Well, because this is the New York Post argument that she was in the right. They go, this place has shitty Yelp reviews. Yeah, because it's a towing place. Do you think anybody's going on like, they did a good job towing my car away? Yeah. No.
Nobody's ever had a good experience at a tow yard.
Right.
Okay, but what I'm trying to get out, keep on cutting me off.
New York Post. It doesn't have to be right. It just has to be short.
Yeah. Include nice. A lot of pictures. Has some captions, and there you go.
Why couldn't she just keep a stupid mouth shut?
Because she has a very big sense of entitlement. Because she's a pretty blonde girl who's on television.
Because your car got towed. There's nothing you can do about it. No matter what you say, or no matter how you bitch, or whatever you do, it's not going to help the situation.
That's
pay
true,
the money really. And get the hell out.
I agree. Look, I understand people have moments of frustration. That's fine, but that's not frustration.
No, she kept on going.
That's berating the woman who told you, I'm filming this.
And I'm going to release
it. It's a security. She goes, you're on video.
Yep.
And then she looks up at the video.
And she looked right at it, looked cool, and then kept going. So fuck off. Yeah, that's not a moment of, like, that's not a lapse in judgment. You are like that all the time. Mm-hmm. And you came out. That's what happened.
We got you.
Fuck off, Britt McHenry.
Yeah.
Right? You agree with me. I just wanted to bring that up. I hate her.
I do. Yeah, I do agree. I mean, there's no way you can say she's in the right there. She's just being a bitch. Nobody's ever had a good experience at a tow yard. That's the long and short. No,
right. If you're born hot like that, which she is, be nice. Because you got a great card dealt to you.
Yeah.
Sure. Like a very pretty blonde chick. Good for you.
And you're going to be on TV.
50% of everything you're going to get in your life is because of that, partially. You know what I mean? It's like half of it is that. And then, yeah, you could do work and definitely be an astrophysicist or whatever.
And get a
you're
degree.
Not. You're a sideline reporter and you're acting like you're in the fucking... Fuck off. I don't like her. Anyway, that's basically what I have. I have this video.
Can we have a happy video now?
That's a happy video, kind of, because we got to make fun of her. She's an asshole. This video is great. This kid named James, I don't have his last name because he didn't put it out there, but he posts a video directed at Kate Upton, and I'm just going to play the video and we can check it out. As you've seen people post these like prom videos, it's like, oh,
JT had
Mila
one.
Kunis, will you please go to prom with me? It's like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this kid, and I think he's good. He's going to be set for life. He's a good guy. So here we go. This is James's Kate Upton video about prom.
Oh my God.
Hey Kate, James here. You may be wondering why I'm making this video, so here goes. Right now, I'm a senior at Leland Prep in San Mateo, California, and my last chance to go to prom is only a week away. But here's the thing. I don't have a date. Literally every girl I asked said no. So, Kate, I know you're probably really busy, but on April 24th at 9 p.m., it would be my absolute honor if you would come to my hometown and kill me.
What? What?
So, first of all, okay, right, twist.
Awesome.
I love this guy. He's going to go to college and get so much ass.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking guy, hilarious, obviously.
Oh, my God.
He's doing this right. Like, the girls in his high school just don't get it. This guy's going to be the shit.
Oh, my God.
Here's the thing, Kate. The girls here just don't get me.
That's what I'm saying, James.
Yeah. It seems like everyone wants to go to prom with an idiot football player, or they'd rather go with some
Britt McHenry type.
Basically someone who's not me. Even my best friend, who promised she'd be my date if nothing else worked out, changed her mind.
Aww.
So I figured, why not ask the sexiest woman alive if she had a gun and would be willing to spare me a few bullets? Kate, you're probably on a beach somewhere shooting a magazine cover, but if you were to kill me, I think you'd have a really fun time. I'm not asking you to run me over with your car or anything. I'd be so happy just to see you snap my neck with your bare hands. Razor blade, sharpened stick, really, it's whatever you have time for. Even if you just stop by and beat me with a baseball bat for 10 minutes. That would mean the world.
He nailed
this. Think about it. How many times do you make someone's dreams come true?
Oh my god.
You could poison me for all I care. Kate, it's my senior year. Sure, I could spend my prom night just sitting alone at home, or sure, I could kill myself, but I want you to be the one who grabs my wrist, takes my pulse, and declares that I am finally dead. And if you can't make it, then you're welcome anytime. So, Kate, will you kill me?
Then he holds up a sign that says, Kate Upton, kill me.
Oh my god.
I love that video. That is beautiful.
Say yes, Kate.
Hashtag say yes, Kate. How great is that kid?
That's great.
It was fun.
And I also enjoyed the fact that he didn't break character once.
No, he did it perfectly. It's like a 2-minute video. It was great. He nailed it. His inflection was hilarious. He got the irony of it. That was just great. He just did a great job. And the idiot girls that are not going to prom with him, you're missing out because that kid's probably a cool dude. You're making a mistake.
Yeah. You right? seem way more into him than you should. But
seems like a good guy.
But yeah, it was a funny video.
He just nailed it. That's really funny. I think he did a nice job.
All right, Chris.
I try my best.
I thank you for the video. It made me laugh.
I'm just a cowboy. And you guys just shit on me. All right, guys. Well, so that's what we had planned. I mean, it's sort of what we had planned, but not really. But we did a good job with it, I think. Mm-hmm. I really like the conversation we had about the off of the TPP thing, about Obama and Hillary and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Thought it was good. And again, if you guys want to go back, and if you haven't, you know, if this is your first episode, God bless you. Welcome. Oh, we hit 600 subscribers on SoundCloud.
Very excited
about that. Please spread the word. I swear to God, sir, we are not going to be on Fox News. I don't want to espouse any of those insane views. So share the video. Tell people to subscribe. And if you want to go back and hear what we said about the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership thing, it was on episode MSP
25.
So you can go check that out. Little Joe Hariri produced the program. Thank you very much.
We appreciate it, sir.
Yamanika, we love you. It's fine. You're sick. That is what it is. We'd love to have you on another episode soon. We'll work that out.
Yes, we will.
Check out Yamanika on Funny Girls Tuesdays at 9 on Oxygen. That's 9 in the East, 8 in the Central time zone. Mm-hmm. It's a funny show, man. She's hilarious on it. She's really the...
Yeah, she is. She's so funny on the show. She's the star of it, and we're not just saying that because we're friends.
I was going to say we're biased, but honestly, she's the funniest part of the show, and it's really good. Just check it out.
Yeah.
Andy, do you have a fucking outro song, dude?
You know what? I was thinking about it, and you said you had one, so I'm going to let you pick this week.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. I'll figure it out. It's either going to be rap or Hozier song.
A what?
Hozier? Hozier?
I don't know what that is.
Take me to church, I worship.
No.
I like that song.
No, it's not that song. It's not that song, but it's that
not
guy. It's that guy. It's a different song.
All right.
Well, look, that is what it is. That's just kind of what I got going on. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. All right. So, listen. Go to soundcloud.com/mandatorySamson. If you're there, great. Subscribe. If you're already subscribed, then I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, I have to do my... By the way...
We do have some free plugs here.
Yeah, plugs. I just got a new shipment of Ethica underwear. It's the only kind I wear. So Ethica...
Why do you love it?
Because they are the most comfortable underwear I've ever bought, and I've been wearing them for like 4 years now, and I will not wear anything else.
All right.
They are the best, and if you want to sponsor me, I would love that very much. I'll wear a new pair every single episode.
And if you want to drink a margarita out of that sexy belly button over there, just get in touch with them on Twitter. It's at @A_Lozy.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Polar Seltzer, Orange Vanilla, this is the original. Come on. We do need a sponsor now. Chesterfield, cat's out of the bag. It's not real.
Yeah.
We do need a sponsor. Chesterfield Cigarettes, go fuck yourself. Polar Seltzer, come on board.
Yep.
We love it.
And Tebow, no. I believe in you.
Joey wants to blow Tim Tebow. So we'll see what happens. Everybody's dreams are going to come true. What was I saying? SoundCloud.com/mandatorySamson. Subscribe. Share this. Let your friends know about it. We'd really appreciate it. We love it. We love doing the show, and we'd love for more people to get on board. We appreciate everybody that already is on board. You can go to dailymotion.com/standupnewyorklabs. You can watch this show live stream. You can watch the full episodes. You can watch all the other shows that we do here because they're great.
Mm-hmm.
Email us, mandatorysamson@gmail.com. We appreciate all questions, comments, queries, pictures, sponsorships, whatever you got.
Send us money if you'd like.
Money, foodstuffs, anything. As I mentioned,
dry cereal.
On Twitter, it's @A_Lozy. This guy is @Joey from Jersey, Jersey with a Z, and I am @ManSamp. It is short for Mandatory Samson. You can also get at me on Snapchat. Same thing for Joey as well. And I guess that's about it. I don't really have anything else to say. So if you guys enjoyed the episode, great. If you didn't, I'm sorry. But we're going to keep doing them, and I wish you guys would stick around. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Nursing all the poison that never stung our teeth in love.